If you haven't been praying for me, I hope you will. And I hope I need your prayer right now, if you'll know the truth. And I hope you'll pray for me. Take your Bible to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, would you? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to begin reading in verse 1. 2 Thessalonians. I hope that's what I said. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The Bible said there in verse 1, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Going to leave off reading right there. The whole book of 2 Corinthians really relates to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And boy, when you get 2 Thessalonians, did I say Corinthians? I told you I needed prayer today, all right? Try to get in the right book, okay? 2 Thessalonians, the whole book really relates to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you begin to talk about the second coming, there's more harebrained ideas, schemes, and plans that are put out there about the return of the Lord than maybe any other event or any other, you know, that's available. I mean, people have the nuttiest ideas. Books are written, movies are made, and all kinds of stuff is put out there. And TV shows, and almost all of them, okay, couldn't be further from biblical truth. But I want you to notice, Paul begins this second chapter really by pleading. He said, "I beseech thee." He said, "I'm begging you, if you would." He said, "By the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And notice what it says there at the end of that verse, "by our gathering together unto him." Hey, that's what's going to take place at that second coming. We're going to be gathered together unto him. The Bible said the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. But there's a lot of folks that are bothered by the thought of the second coming. And there's no reason for that. So I want to preach to you this morning of don't be shook up, shocked, or shorn, okay? Just don't let that happen. Look at verse 2. Verse 2 said that you be not soon shaken in mind. Don't be shook up. Amen. Don't be shook up, all right? No need to be shook up, because you can be sure of it. The Lord's coming. The Lord is coming. No doubt about it, all right? You say, how do you know? We got God's promise. We got God's promise. In John chapter 14, he told his disciples, he said, "I'm leaving, but if I go away, I'll come again. I'll come again," all right? We've got his promise on that. You said, "Preacher, that's 2,000 years ago." How long is your promise good?
Come on, amen. Come on.
How long is your promise good? I don't believe for a minute we have any problem trusting the Lord that his promise is good for 2,000 years. And it's good for longer than that. He made that promise, but his promises don't have a time limit. Okay? They don't have an expiration date. If he promised it, it's going to come to pass. Hey, the truth is, he promised it even before he walked on this earth in the person of Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, there's a promise of the second coming before the first coming ever happened. You said, do what? Well, you'll have to study that out a little bit, all right? The time of his promise doesn't affect its truth. Now, here's the problem. Go back, if you will, to 2 Peter chapter 3. Right there, over closer to the end of your Bible. 2 Peter chapter 3, all right? I want you to look there. 2 Peter chapter 3. Look in verse 3, knowing this first. The Bible says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. But look at that next verse. For this they willingly are ignorant of. Willingly ignorant, okay? There's those that would love to get you to doubt the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's those that would like to come along and tell you, hey, I know he said it a long time ago. Well, the Bible says they're scoffers. Those scoffers would love to make you doubt it. They would like to maybe shake you up a little bit about it and make you think, well, it's not going to happen. But once again, I'll remind you that same passage says that crowd's willingly ignorant. Willingly ignorant. Hey, it's a mistake to let ignorant folks cause me or you to doubt anything God says. That crowd that's willingly ignorant, they ought to never bother you. They ought to never bother you. Hey, if we've got the Word of God on it, that's enough. That's enough. Don't you have to have anything else. We've got the Word of God. We've got His Word. We've got what He says. Now, you don't need to be shook up about it unless you're not ready.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Unless you're not ready. My dad, when we were kids, my mom and dad would leave, and they'd leave my brother and I at the house, and they'd say, now, you take care of this, and when we get home, this better be done. Hey, you know what? When the car turned in the driveway, if we had finished what they said to do, there was no reason to be shook up.
Amen.
But there were a few occasions when we heard the tire crunching on the gravel in the drive, and we hadn't taken care of what we were supposed to be. I just want to tell you, we was a little shook up. But if you're ready for that coming, you don't need to be shook up. We've got His promise. He's coming. We've got His promise. He's coming. Now, also, look again there in verse 2. It says that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled. Be troubled. Hey, the day of the Lord is at hand. The day of the Lord is at hand, but it shouldn't cause us to be troubled. You don't need to be shocked. You don't need to be shocked when you can be totally settled. Some people get upset and they get shocked by what's happening in the world. Hey, you look around. We see the conditions in the world today. We see what's happening. We see what's going on. And I say this to you, don't be shocked. Just be calm. I guess in today's vernacular, we'd say just chill. It's going to be all right. You don't have to see those things. You don't have to be shocked about it at all, you know, just because of the conditions. You say, well, why not? Because God told us it's going to get bad. He told us, take your Bible there. You're in 2 Thessalonians. Go to 2 Timothy. Right after 2 Thessalonians is 1 Timothy. Go to 2 Timothy, would you, chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at verse 1. The Bible says, this know also, then in the last days, wonderful days will come. Life will be glorious and happy. And oh, wait a minute. Your Bible doesn't say that either, huh? No, it says perilous times shall come. Perilous times. How bad, preacher? For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Boy, do we ever more live in that day. We've never lived in a day, I don't think, where people love themselves more than we live in today. You know about people being in love with themselves. They're in love with themselves. They're so in love with themselves, they take pictures of themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if this is you, that's your problem. You need to work on it, all right? I remember years ago, we'd take kids to camp, and I'd take a camera and get it out. And man, you get that camera out and those kids are hiding, you know, and everything. Now, we're in love with ourselves, man. People are in love with themselves. The Bible said men to be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters. We don't see any of that today. Oh, yeah. Proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Now, I don't know, but I'm sitting here thinking we could park at any one of these places and preach a while, all right? Unthankful. Unthankful. unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Boy, look at that verse 5. Having a form of godliness. A form of godliness. But denying the power thereof. The Bible says from such, turn away. You get away from that. Stay away. Hey, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying you don't need to be shocked by the conditions in the world. Everything. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been a Bible believer for years and years and years. Be honest with you. I grew up as a kid believing the Bible, and I was, you know, I believed it like you'd believe it. You believe things as a kid. But as I got older, I found out, hey, you know what? Every word in that book's true. Every word in that book's true. I don't look at it and believe it as a kid, but I do still have that childlike faith that what God says is true. And I read that book, and I know what it says is true. But are you like me? We read, and we thought, yeah, it's going to get bad. But did you think it can't get that bad? Yeah, I kind of feel that way sometimes. I thought, well, I never thought it'd get this bad. But wait a minute. We're all not to be shocked, okay? The Lord told us it was going to come. Now, can I say this? It's okay to be saddened by what you do, what you see. Man, to see what's happening in our world, I'm saddened by what happens in our country.
Amen.
But you shouldn't be shocked at the absolute open disregard for the Word of God and for God Himself. No regard for Him. More and more, we meet people that deny there's a God. More and more, we see that. I'm told by folks that work in the mission field, like in England and over there in Great Britain, man, they say the unbelief is astounding, how much unbelief there is and how many people deny there's a God, don't believe God at all, don't believe in any God whatsoever. But man, I see that happening here. You say, why is that? I'm convinced men are determined to live according to what they want. And God interferes with that, okay? Hey, you get up and you preach this book, and you go, I don't like that. Because I was planning to do that. That was the way I wanted to live, and that's what I want to do. We live in a day when immorality is rife. I mean, just everywhere. And it seems like we didn't accept it. And I see it sometimes accepted in some church settings. I don't think it's biblical churches, all right? But we accept that immorality. Filthy living. Filthy living. Boy, can I just say this? Now, I'm not trying to make it, but filthy language. Boy, it's just running rampant. What a shame. What a shame. What a shame that we let it affect us as God's people. You as a child of God, you can't live like that. You can't justify that kind of thing. You can't justify, well, I'm going to do what I want to do. But wait a minute, what does God want you to do? And what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying what Paul said to these folks. He said, don't be shook up. Don't be shocked. Don't be shocked by what you see in this world unless you're not ready. I'm going to tell you, it's going to get worse. He said, well, preacher, thanks for the word of encouragement. Now, I don't know how much worse it'll get before God takes us out of here. But I'll be honest, I didn't know how bad it was going to get, all right? I don't know. I'm not going to be shocked. I'm not going to let it shake me up. But here's maybe the most important point in the message. Look at verse 3 in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You see, we get shook up and we get shocked. And if we're not careful, we'll be shorn. You say, what do you mean? I mean you'll lose something. You see what verse 3 says? Let no man deceive you by any means. There's a great danger today that folks are going to be deceived. Because there's a ton out there trying to deceive you. And deception is at your fingertips. You can go online and hear everything under the sun. You can go online and hear everything under the sun preached and taught. And I just want to say this to you. The deceivers are masters. That's why God warns us, don't let men deceive you. Don't let men deceive you. You be careful, all right? Those deceivers want to take something from you. Like you shear a sheep. You know, you take that sheep and you shear him. What you want to take is that coat of wool off of him, all right? And by the way, have you ever seen a shorn sheep? Okay, I haven't seen a shorn sheep. You ever seen that poor dog that gets taken to the groomer? And man, they put the clippers on that rascal, not to shape him up, but just scoot it off. And he looks naked. Right? There he is. The poor little thing looks just naked, you know? Can I say this to you? That I believe with all my heart that's what the deceiver would like to do to you today, is to leave you naked, all right, with no hope and nothing. Don't let that happen to you, okay? Those deceivers are out there. They'll take your assurance, your confidence away. They'll do that, all right? They'll deceive you into thinking, hey, you're going to have to go through a part of the tribulation period. There's a turkey out there. I'm not going to name him because I'm afraid you'll go look and you'll listen, and I'm afraid you might get taken in, all right? But there's a well-known, big-followed turkey out there on the internet that's teaching and saying that you're going to go halfway through the tribulation period. Now, my comment is, if you want to, have at it, all right? But that's not what the Bible teaches. Now, you've got to take Scripture, you've got to twist it, and you've got to work on it to get people to believe that kind of thing. Just to take that away and cause people, that causes people to go get a bunker somewhere and stock it up and say, well, we'll try to just last in that bunker. You don't need to do that. I think of the people that when Y2K was foretold. And I think about my cousin. My cousin's an intelligent fella, and he is, and I'm not mocking him, and I don't want you to think that. I think he's a very intelligent man. But boy, he was deceived, and he was worried, and it just so happens we were there in late 1999 and visiting in his house, and he showed us, and he showed everything, and we got home. I told my wife and kids, if things get bad, we're going to his house. And he had all that stuff stocked up. He had all the food and everything. He had a meal and wheat. He could grind his own wheat and all that stuff. He's probably still eating beans he had stored up then, right? People get worried about those kind of things. And there's people, what are they called today? Preppers? Doomsday preppers. And they literally do. You can, now don't waste your time.
Amen.
Don't waste your time doing this, but you can find them, all right? You can go on the internet and find them, and they'll tell you how to stock up for the, you know, all of that. And, man, you know, we got the bunker, and we'll be able to go hide. And, hey, you don't have to worry about that. When the trump of God sounds, it's not going to be 3.5 years into the tribulation period. It's going to be before that man of sin's revealed.
Amen.
The trump's going to sound. But, hey, those people out there that like to deceive you, cause you to think that, and cause you to live now worried, stressed out. You don't need to live that way. There's no reason for that. Hey, that kind of thought pulls you away from looking for the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, I believe in his imminent return. You say, what do you mean, preacher? I mean right now.
Yes, sir.
I mean, it may be today. Perhaps today. It could. I believe it could take place before we hit 12 noon over there. Okay? I believe it's coming. It's just that close. All right? But that sense of imminency helps me to stay straight. Helps me to stay straight. I told you about when I was a kid, my dad, you know, would give my brother and I things to do. You know what? The fact that dad could show up anytime kind of kept me doing right. Do you have parents like that? I thank God for parents like that. It kind of helped me to walk straight line there. Just kind of helped me stay on the straight line. And I'll say this to you. The fact that the Lord Jesus Christ could come at any moment sort of helps me stay on the straight line. Kind of helps me stay out of the flesh. It keeps me from getting in the flesh. I realize, whoa, be careful! Right in the middle of what you're fixing to do, the Lord could come back. I'm out order to be careful. Hey, don't you let that deceiver steal that away from you. Don't let him take your testimony, pull you away from the truth, and get you off into some harebrained cult.
Amen.
Something out there that's far out, you know. There are so many far out teachings that claim to be based on the Word of God. It just blows my mind. There's stuff I people be talking about, and I'd say, what? I said, you mean there's people that really teach that? Yeah. What in the world's wrong with them? It's not the Word of God. Don't let yourself get pulled away from the truth, all right? Don't let that happen to you. Hey, don't let it take away your missionary zeal. To think that, hey, if people are going to get saved, they'll get saved. That you got no part in it. I've got some kin folks that believe if you're going to be saved, you'll be saved. You don't have to do nothing about it. And they would tell you, I got a friend that's a preacher in this area that told another friend who was passing out a tract, saying, you don't need to do that. There's no reason to do that. You're wasting your time. Well, does your Bible not say, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? Shall call? See, I got kin folks believe you don't have to call. He's just going to save you. My Bible says, whosoever shall call shall be saved. Whosoever shall call. Man, don't let do it. I give the missions. Why? Because I think there's people around this world need to hear the gospel story. I want them to know there's a God in heaven that loves them. There's a God that sent his son to pay their sin debt. I want them to know that. I'm going to give the missions because I want that to be heard. I want that to do it. Hey, listen. You listen to those people that would want you to get shook up and be shaken and, you know, all of that and be shocked. And really, they want to take away your life, okay? They want to take away your life. They want to take away, as a Christian, I think they want to take away the pleasure and the excitement that comes from living for Jesus Christ. Just serving him. Just living for him. But as a lost man, they'll take away and deceive you into thinking, hey, you got time. You don't need to worry about it. You've got time. You haven't trusted Christ? It's okay, you got time. Don't worry, put it off. It's all right. All right? You can put off salvation. You can wait a while. You got plenty of time. I want to tell you, what a terrible thought to think, I can take time. No, you can't. Don't be deceived. If you're here and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you're not guaranteed another chance. You are not guaranteed another opportunity. Trust Him. Trust Him today. Don't let Him take away your eternal life. your chance and your opportunity for eternal life. The Lord offers it to you. He offers it to you. But man, if you're a Christian, don't let the things of this world cause you to restrict, cause you to hibernate. I think one of the saddest things that happened with all the COVID junk is people got sucked into their own homes, and now we don't want to get out. No, we don't. I was reading on the internet. I always like to read the things when it says reasons why people don't go to church. Dumbest reasons in the world. And one of them was people just said, well, you know, during COVID, I got used to staying home, so I didn't stay home. Well, how stupid. But I look at it, how sad. I was talking this week to somebody, and I think I was talking to my niece. We live in a day where if you wanted to, you never have to go outside your house. You don't have to go outside your house. You can work from home. Anybody here work from home? You work from home? Anybody like that? This would be a good time for somebody to raise their hand. All right? I don't want you to lie. Okay, that's kidding. You work from home sometime? 2 days a week? Okay. My daughter and my son-in-law, they work from home a lot. Okay. But it's possible for you to work from home. But not only that, it's possible you don't even have to go shop. You can order it. There's an app. You know, and all you got to do is sign in and you can Walmart and they'll deliver it. Yes, sir. If you want them to, they'll bring it in and put it in your fridge. Yeah. You don't have to get out of the house, okay? Just want to go to the doctor. Oh, no, no, no. I've had FaceTime.
Yes, sir.
How you doing, Doc?
Yes, sir.
Well, how do I look? Okay, you know. You look all right. How do I look? Well, don't even go to the doctor. I mean, there he is. He just looks at you. What's wrong? I tell him what's wrong. I'll send you about a prescription. You know? You don't even have to. What a terrible way to live. What a terrible way to live. But there's people living like that, and there's people live today in fear. They live in fear. I'm not going out. And people still masked up. Honestly, I kind of feel sorry for folks. We're afraid of life. Hey, can I say this to you? You don't have to be that way. You don't have to be shook up. You don't need to be deceived. Don't let that happen. I want to tell you this. He is coming. He's coming. I'll say this to you. If you're a child of God, when he comes, you're going to be glad you stayed faithful. You're going to be glad you were faithful. That day comes and you stand before him. I think of all the excuses. I think of those reasons they gave on that deal for why people don't go to church now. And I read those and I think, I wonder how that'll stand when you stand before God.
Amen.
Well, then people at church are too judgmental. Thank God the people at Walmart aren't, right? What in the world, you know? How's that going to stand? You stand before God. Stand before God and say, I didn't go to church because those people are too judgmental at church. And God says, but I told you to go. You ever stop and think about how puny our excuses are going to be when we stand before God? He says, I tell you something and you argued against it. He said, what are you saying? I'm saying this. Paul said the Lord's coming. But he said, don't let it shake you up. Don't get shook up. You know, don't be shocked by what you see in the world. Don't let them steal from you. Don't let them deceive you. Don't let somebody come along and say, well, because he hasn't come, he's not coming. Don't let that deceive you. You stay firm. You keep believing what God says. Hey, if you know the Bible and you believe this Bible, you don't have to worry about somebody taking it away from you. There's a song that said, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. That ought to be us. That ought to be us. But you ought to be shook up, and you ought to be worried. If you're not ready for him to come. You need to be shook. You need to be sweating. You ought to be. If you're not saved, you ought to be worried. When I was a kid under conviction, I couldn't sleep at night. I couldn't sleep because of the convicting power of God on me about my sin. I'd lay there in that bed not able to go to sleep. Listen, if you're not saved, you ought not to be able to rest. But it doesn't have to be that way because you can get saved. You can get saved today. You can trust the Savior today. Christian, you're here. But your life's not what it ought to be. Maybe you got that sin you've been hanging on to. You ought to be shook up. The thought of the Lord's return ought to shake you up. I don't tell you this. If you're doing your best to live for God, and I don't mean perfection, because you can't live that, and neither can I. But there's a difference between perfection and the unconcern about, I'm going to do my thing. Hey, if you have that assurance of salvation, you know, I'm walking with the Lord. I'm doing my best to live for Him. You don't need to be shook up. You don't need to be shocked at what you see. And you don't need to worry about anybody. Nobody ought to be able to deceive you. But if you're not, maybe you need to take advantage of invitation time this morning. Maybe you need to come. If you're here, you've never been saved, would you come trust the Savior today? Would you come trust Him? You're here as a Christian, but there's problems. Your life's not right. Maybe you're sitting here planning to do wrong. Boy, don't leave that way. Get right with God, would you? Would you get right with Him? Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, I pray.